Well, we're going to be continuing in our studies on trials. We call it Christian trials. You know, I think we could generally say that God uses trials in all people's lives. For those who do not know Him, He uses trials to bring a lost one to Christ. And those that are Christ, through trials, He wants to bring them nearer to Him. Let's turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 19. We'll be ending the studies on trials on Wednesday night. And I believe, if memory serves, that will be the 11th study on trials that we've taken up. Proverbs chapter 19. Verse 3. Now here's a verse that, you know, I do believe it would behoove us all to take it to memory and make it a part of our life. The Solomon says, "The foolishness of man," Proverbs 19, verse 3. "The foolishness of man," and we're going to discuss later what that phrase, "the foolishness of man," what it really means. "The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Now, this is the only time that we're going to look at that verse. I'll be making reference to it. You might want to keep your finger there to refer back to Proverbs 19:3 as we go along this morning. Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9. Verse 17. Job chapter 9. Verse 17, just two verses. And here is Job, in these two verses, he is referring to his God. Job says, "For he breaketh me with a tempest, and multiplieth my wounds without cause. He," God, "will not suffer me to take my breath, but filleth me with bitterness. When we examine clearly what the Bible says about trials of life, we do learn a great deal about human nature in general, I think. And also a great deal about myself as a Christian, that I think that many times I'm simply unaware of, totally unaware of. And we shouldn't be surprised that I would actually be unaware of my personal failures and sins. The Scriptures teach us in many places that left to myself, with my flesh on the throne, that I do indeed deceive myself and really do not know my own heart. Now, I have emphasized these truths in our studies, in our past studies, a great deal. And these truths are widely and pervasively taught throughout the Bible. But unfortunately, they have not been emphasized by many Christian teachers today to the degree that they appear and that they emerge in the Bible. This has not been a gift to the church. But notwithstanding these things, God does not ignore, nor is He unaware of these things concerning my own heart condition. But instead, God wants me very much to know these things and to deal with these things. Now, from the scriptures, we learn that God primarily uses unpleasant experiences of life to show me things about my heart that He wishes me to be aware of. And we do see this in the life of the patriarch Job. Now, nowhere else in the Bible is the soul of man and the thought process of man so clearly and abundantly presented than in the book of Job. God wants me to understand myself. This knowledge of myself is essential to His dealings with me. He wants us to know our own hearts. Unfortunately, dear ones, we are not born naturally with that ability. Jeremiah chapter 17 tells us that men do not know their own hearts. You remember Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful, what? Above all things. And who can know it? Who can know it? And that includes Christians as well. This is a universal truth. Because the scriptures teach us that I still have my old man. My old man in the scriptures is that old Adamic nature. And it's referred to in the Bible as the flesh. The flesh. As a matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 2 tells me this. It says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. So according to the Bible, all of us here this morning today have a real problem. God wants me to know my heart, but I myself do not have this ability on my own. But God has dealt with this problem by supernaturally giving me His Spirit, if I have indeed received His Son as Savior. And if you're unsure about that, we need to talk about that later after the meeting. So, we have His Spirit if I am indeed Christ's own. But the dilemma that I have as a Christian is my failure to submit my heart to that Holy One. Because of this, I depend on my flesh to direct my attitudes and responses to God's dealings with me. Now, I may think that I know my heart, and sometimes I do because of the indwelling Spirit of God when I do listen to Him. But as Proverbs 21 tells us, this is very difficult for me because of my sin nature. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. And we'll see this with Job. But nevertheless, God does indeed greatly desire that I know and understand my own heart. And this is precisely where unpleasant experiences of life come in. God uses trials of life to help me understand my heart and then, on my part, to respond to Him. No matter how small that trial or unpleasant circumstance may be. The chief and principal process that God uses and employs to help me as a Christian understand my own heart are the trials and afflictions of life. If I do not understand that this is God's own unique divine way in dealing with me, in dealing with my heart, then I will be a spiritually stunted Christian. Mark that down. To say that I do not understand my heart is to say I am blinded not only by myself and my spiritual condition, but also to what God wants to communicate to me. So the reason God wants me to understand my own heart is so that I will understand my own motivations, why I go in directions that are not God's will, and also to be able to hear and to understand God when He communicates to me. And remember, one of the chief ways that God communicates to me is through trials, which in turn should drive me to His Word, the Word of God. And that is where I can find out exactly what He would have me to do. Now, if I do not understand myself or my God, then I will be spiritually stunted. Now, here again, the book of Proverbs has something to say about this. The passage that we read there in Proverbs 19, remember it says, the foolishness of man. Now, I want you to read that phrase as the flesh, because that's what he's talking about. The foolishness of man, the flesh, perverts his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. When we do not understand our hearts, in other words, my flesh is blinding me, then I become foolish, the writer of Proverbs says, and my ways are what? They are perverted. Now, what this means is that my thinking and my reasoning is convoluted and illogical. And again, we will see this illogical thinking with the patriarch Job. But Proverbs chapter 19 says, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. When God uses trials in my life, He is trying to show me what is in my heart. And if I do not respond to those trials in God's way, the Bible says my heart will fret against the Lord. It will fret against the Lord. And so it was with Job. We need to understand the connection between God's use of trials and my own dealings with my heart. They are inextricably linked together, dear ones. Well, let's briefly review the situation with Job. Now, if we were to read chapters 3 through chapters 31 of the book of Job, we would find and discover Job's friends telling Job all about why these severe trials had come on him. But, you see, they did not have all the facts, and neither did Job, and ultimately, neither do we. But nevertheless, his friends accused Job of sin. And of course, this was totally false, because Job's outward manner of life towards men was without reproach. And furthermore, Job was a man who was justified by faith before God. He was a child of God. A child of God. But what God desired to deal with was Job's inward man, his heart, just as He desires to do with you and me. Nevertheless, God used the friction and the agitation caused by Job's friends to bring out what was really in his heart. And God will use the frictions and the agitation of people that I come into contact with to bring out what is in my heart. Understand this. Please understand this. But God's trial of Job brought out Job's inward heart, which Job himself was totally unaware of. Totally unaware of. Now, this is simply an illustration of the biblical truth that we do not know our own hearts. And the truth that Proverbs chapter 19 tells us is seen in Job. And that is, his heart fretted against the Lord. His heart fretted against the Lord. As we will read here in chapter 9, Job's thought process was perverted. I want you to see that as we read along. His thought process was perverted. Now, again, Proverbs 19 said, what does it say? The foolishness of man perverts his way. The flesh of man perverts his way. We will find that Job's heart thoughts were convoluted and illogical and perverted, just as ours can be if I do not judge my heart before God. So understand, dear ones, that God, through trials, wants to show me my foolishness of thinking, my misunderstanding, and my wrong perceptions about myself. So, here is Job in chapter 9 in verse 17. Let's read it again. For he that is God breaketh me with a tempest, and he multiplies my wounds without cause. He, God, will not suffer me to take my breath, but fills me with bitterness. Fills me with bitterness. Now, we can clearly see what a skewed and perverted view Job had of God's dealings with him. And please understand, this perverted view of God's dealings came from his own heart, a heart which he did not know, a heart that was unaware of its own condition. Now, most of us, you and I, are a little different from Job. Most of the time, we do not directly accuse God, as did Job here in chapter 9. Our approach is a little more subtle, isn't it? We ask, why did this happen? Why did this happen to me? Why is God doing this? Why is God permitting this to happen to me? Or perhaps this, you know, I really don't see how any good could come out of this, what's happening to me. I really don't see that. Or, I am so weary and so tired of these things happening to me. Well, dear ones, God is trying to show us something about ourselves. But let's look at Job. Notice in verse 17, Job said, God multiplies my wounds without cause. Now, Job certainly did not see that God had his own purposes for Job's afflictions. He did not see this, just like we don't many times. To Job, they were without cause. He said, without a reason, without a purpose. But the Bible itself gives us quite a different picture. And in prior studies, we have discussed these divine purposes and reasons at great length. For instance, from the Apostle Paul's experience with his thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we looked at that. And we saw that God increased Paul's faith through his trial. You see, Paul accepted by faith that God's grace was sufficient for him. That's an act of faith when you do something like that. Paul trusted that God knew all about his thorn and that God would enable Paul to deal with it. Paul cast himself upon God. Lord, your grace is sufficient for me. Now that's faith. That's faith. And it's the same with us. When I accept by faith that God's grace is sufficient for me during my trial, one of God's great purposes for me has been accomplished. But, this was not yet Job's experience. So my total dependence on God in faith will glorify Him. And Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, the just shall live by faith. And then it says, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So faith is a huge part of my Christian life. And my faith is expanded and multiplied and perfected by my trials. Now, God has no pleasure in the Christian who does not exercise faith in God in his life during his trials. God says, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But God can produce faith in my heart through the trials that he takes me through. Now, Paul's thorn in the flesh is a testament to that truth. But Job, he did not see this. Job thought that God had no cause and no reason to multiply his wounds. And where did this lack of faith, and that's what it is, and where did this lack of faith lead Job? Well, in verse 18, it led Job to an attitude of bitterness in his own heart. It says, but God will not suffer me to take my breath, but filleth me with bitterness. Did you notice that not only was there bitterness in Job's heart, which came by his lack of faith in his God, in what God was doing, that is, you know, he was saying, God is multiplying my wounds without cause or reason, but did you notice he attributed the cause of this bitterness to God? Do you see that? He filleth me with bitterness. He filleth me with bitterness. In other words, God caused my bitterness. Now again, usually you and I are more subtle than that. We blame our attitudes. We blame those on my circumstances, don't we? In other words, we make our circumstances a substitute for blaming God. All the while knowing deep in our hearts that God has brought these very circumstances to me for a reason. Now, this is something that we are very good at. Not accepting responsibility for my own feelings. Not accepting responsibility for my own feelings. But make no mistake, dear Christian, God did not cause Job's feelings of resentment and bitterness. The truth is, Job chose, he chose to excuse that sinful emotion. Job's reason of thinking was this. He said, God has afflicted me without a cause or without a reason. He multiplies my wounds without cause. Therefore, Job reasoned, God has caused and produced my feelings of bitterness and resentment. You see that? I am not to blame. I am not to blame, Job said. I cannot help myself. Now, isn't this the way we think? Isn't this the way we think? In other words, if I resent a particular or person or a particular set of circumstances, then I am justified and right in feeling the way that I do. And please understand that I may be supposedly right in my position or my situation. Just like Job was. Job didn't ask for these things. Job did not deserve these trials and these afflictions. He was a righteous man. And this happens to you and me. I may not deserve a particular trial, but God has His own wonderful purposes for my hardships. But God does not cause my sinful responses of resentment or bitterness or anger or self-pity or any of the other sinful emotions. I, just like Job here, choose these sins in response to what has happened to me. I may not directly blame God, like Job did. Lord, why did this happen to me? Why am I going through this? What a terrible circumstance to be in. You see, I am motivated by the flesh, the old man, just as Job was here. But understand well that I must accept responsibility for my own feelings. We need to understand this. If I do not, I become like the man of Proverbs 19. The foolishness, that is, the flesh of man perverts his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Now, I want you to notice how this process started with Job. Well, it started in verse 17 of our text. It started much before that. But for our sake here this morning, it started in verse 17. And it started with Job's feelings of being wounded without a cause or reason. And on Job's part, there was indeed no obvious reason or cause. He was a righteous man. The Bible makes that very clear. But as far as God was concerned, there were many reasons for this that Job did not know. Now, we have already mentioned that one of these reasons was to develop God-honoring faith in His servant, in you and I. That's one of the purposes of trials. God wants to develop our faith. And this is where Job failed in verse 17, as so do we. Instead of trusting God's care and God's love for him by faith, Job said in his heart, I do not understand this. This is not right. Why is God doing this to me? He says, He breaks me in a tempest, Job said. He breaks me in a tempest. He multiplies my wounds without a cause. And that, dear ones, you know what, is not faith. It's not faith. Faith is, as the psalmist declared in Psalm 119 in verse 75, faith is, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. That thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. That, dear ones, is faith. Now, where did Job's lack of faith lead him? Where did it lead him? Well, it led him in verse 18 to feelings of resentment and bitterness. Now, I as a Christian have to understand that a lack of faith on my part will always lead me to sin. We don't understand that. A lack of my faith will always lead me to sin. This is why God says in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. A lack of faith exercised in my heart will eventually always lead me to sin. And for many of us, we are unaware that I am lacking in faith. We're totally unaware of that. And this was true of Job at this point in his life here. Remember again our proverb, the foolishness of man perverts his way. When my foolish flesh controls my thinking is perverted. It is illogical. It is convoluted. I do not see things as they truly are. Now, certainly we observe this phenomena in our text here in chapter 9 of Job. And there are others in this same book as well that show Job's false thinking. But dear Christians, we need to understand that when I go through an unpleasant circumstance or hardship, God Himself has started a process of His own making. It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. It is by His design and He has many purposes in it. The development of my faith is one of those divine purposes. Now, the Apostle Peter explains to us even more of these purposes. We considered this in our studies as well. He said this. He said, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Note this. After you have suffered a while, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So Peter tells us that our suffering a while has the potential to produce some wonderful divine qualities in me. Now these are some of God's purposes in trials. The perfecting, the establishing, the strengthening, and the settling is what God desired for Job. And it's also what He desires for you and me. Now, Job would not learn this until he had a conversation with his God. And that conversation invoked and brought forth the response that God was looking for. And God is looking for that same response in me as well, as I deal with my life's trials. Job said in the final chapter of this book, he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Well, the Apostle James, also in the New Testament, tells us about these things. When he said, when he was talking to Christians in James chapter 4, he said, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And what? He shall lift you up. He shall lift you up. For our God to lift us up, we must first repent and humble ourselves in our dealings with Him amidst our trials. We must always do this. This is the conversation that Job had with his God. And that's what it boiled down to. And then Peter tells us, on God's part, He will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us, and make me like unto His beloved Son. So, dear ones, let all of us learn from Job and thereby bring to God glory that is due His name through the unpleasant experiences of life. Hide Job in your heart. He has much to teach us about our emotions, our feelings, our dealings with our God, and our ability to bring glory to Him if we will go His way. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this dear man, Job, a man justified by faith, the one that would declare that he would in one day soon see His coming Redeemer. But, oh God, he had so much to learn about his own heart, as do we. Lord, we do pray for these dear ones and myself as well, that we would not ignore those things that come into our life that are unpleasant, that we would not cast them aside carelessly, but we would know and understand that they are from Thee, that You have begun a divine process in our life through this little trial that has come our way, that You desire to refine us into the image of Your Son, that You desire to establish us, to settle us, to strengthen us. You desire to increase our faith that we may please Thee. For, Lord, we have read that without faith it's impossible to please Thee. Oh, dear God, we pray that we would not draw back, for we know that You have no pleasure in that. So, Father, we would pray for all of us here today, all of us who are indwelt by Thy Spirit, that, Lord, we would not let the foolishness of the flesh pervert our way and permit our hearts to fret against our God. We commit ourselves to Thee, thanking Thee for the person of Thy Son who has set us upon a rock. And Lord, what glories await us, eye and ear hath not seen, nor can the tongue tell. But, O dear Lord, one precious day, we will be like Him and with Him forevermore. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.